L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Second hour, next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, live at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Titans training camp about to get underway. Parker Kelly back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Again, Titans about to start practice.
We have players on the field.
Yes, players are on the field. We will give you updates later on in the show once they get going with some team drills. But I wanted to get into some college football here. The quarterback tiers from The Athletic came out yesterday. Coaching tiers, coaching, I should say.
Okay.
Coaching tiers from The Athletic. This is from Chris Vanini, putting all of the, is it all Power Four, all FBS coaches into tiers. And the top one, Kurt Cignetti, Kirby Smart.
Sure.
I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart, multiple-time recent national champion. In the last 5 years, he's won two. Kurt Cignetti, what he's done in the last 2 years, I think makes it pretty clear. Tier two is where we'll start, though. The established winners. The ones you'd expect. Mario Cristobal at Miami had them in the national championship game last year. Ryan Day. Kalen DeBoer was in a national championship a few years ago. Marcus Freeman. Lane Kiffin. Dan Lanning. Steve Sarkisian. There are three in here that I think might surprise you a little bit. We'll start with the one that's going to get us off the rails here. Dabo Swinney, he moved down from Tier 1.
Yeah.
He was in the top tier heading into last year.
Okay.
The standard. He has moved down to established winners. Here's what Chris Vanini says. Dabo Swinney drops out of the top tier for the first time since this exercise began. He has two national titles, but the last one was 8 years ago.
That's
the Tigers have one CFP appearance in the last 5 years, and
ooh,
last season's 7-6 record,
ooh,
was Sweeney's worst since 2010.
Yep.
You can't deny the highs, but the Tigers aren't close to the bar he set and are trending,
yep,
downward.
Yes, they are, and you have to recognize that. Is he an established winner? Yeah, yes, he is. But their trajectory is not good. And how many coaches reverse their trajectory? Not many.
That's fair.
I mean, Philip Fulmer did when he brought back David Cutcliffe.
Yeah.
And then David Cutcliffe left, and the trajectory continued. Okay? And that was basically because they had a new coach in. I mean, Fulmer was still the head coach, but Cutcliffe was the other guy.
Right.
Came in and fixed things. And so, you know, I think there needs to be another tier between this established winners and the elite.
Yeah.
I think if you had, like, almost elite but great, because I don't know how Ryan Day, who's top three every freaking year.
Yeah.
And is up for the national championship every year, is not in that category.
Yeah, I do think you could split this among guys who are in or entering their prime and maybe some guys who have,
yeah,
left their prime.
How about this? Coaches anybody would take.
Yeah, I like that.
Anybody would take Ryan Day. Anybody would take Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
Anybody would take Lane Kiffin.
Dan Lanning.
Anybody would take Dan Lanning.
Steve Sarkisian, I think you could put in there.
Yep, absolutely.
Ryan Day has the highest winning percentage of active coaches in the country right now.
Yeah,
I don't know how he's not in Tier 1.
Yeah, he should be in Tier 1. We can argue about some of these other guys that they're – when you're talking about, you know, look, there's no question Cignetti and Smart belong there. But I do think – I don't think Day, Freeman – I think that they and where some of these other guys are, they're not,
yeah,
the same.
Yeah, it could be a 2A and 2B.
They're not the same.
Because this is 10 coaches, and I do think there is kind of a clear dividing line,
yes,
of
– guys who are still winning should,
right,
be part of it.
Right. Like, I think you could put Day, Freeman, Kiffin, Lanning, Sarkisian in a 2A.
Yeah.
Cristobal, I think, would be on the borderline of those,
yeah,
two. And then I think you'd have, like, DeBoer, Franklin, Sweeney, Whittingham. I think that would be the bottom,
yeah,
tier.
Look, I think
group.
Whittingham's a really good coach.
I think he is, too. But
and he just did it in Utah. And I think, you know, he's got a chance. He's in this good tier. You know, he's got a chance to move up.
Right.
If he does it big at Michigan. But, again, I think we're all in agreement that Ryan Day does not belong on the second tier. And I don't care what you think about his coaching. I really don't. The results are the results.
Right.
And recruiting is part of it. I mean, you're a head coach. You are in charge of the entire organization. That is not just play calling.
And they always have elite rosters, even if they don't live up to it.
And he's responsible.
Right. And last year, yes, it didn't end well. You lose in the Big Ten championship game. You lose to Miami in the first round of the playoff. But, you know, you were undefeated heading into that.
Yep. And you were the team to beat.
You were the team to beat. The year before that, you struggled a little bit in the regular season.
Then
you lose to Oregon, you lose to Michigan, and then you roll everybody in the playoffs. So I agree with you. I think Ryan Day.
Well, and who's number one this year?
It's
Ohio State.
They're number one. Yeah.
So who's elite?
I agree.
They were number one to finish last year, and they're number one to start this year.
I would put Day as number three on this list. Like, I don't think you can argue Cignetti and Smart, but I think Day deserves to be three.
Yes.
And then I think you look at that next tier of Freeman, Kiffin, Lanning, Sarkisian.
Yeah, those four I would separate from the other ones.
Cristobal is probably close, but you might want to see another year of it.
The
James Franklin being in here, I think, is interesting.
He's in tier two?
He's in tier two. The Hokies with a massive upgrade. Last year,
He's won a lot of games.
Brett Pry was tier seven last year.
You know, he is Dabo minus the national championships.
Yeah, that is true. I think Franklin is going to be good at Virginia Tech, but
he's going to recruit the heck out of that Virginia Beach
area. I think it's going to be – they're going to become one of those second-tier teams in the ACC. Like, I don't know if they're going to win the ACC every year, but I think they'll be in the conversation.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be – I think they'll be upper-tier ACC.
I don't think they're going to ever win a national championship with James Franklin, but I think they will be in the playoffs with James Franklin.
I think you'll be talking Miami.
Miami then – I think, like,
Virginia Tech,
Clemson.
And Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
North Carolina
Maybe
State.
Florida State if they get
Florida
back
State,
to it. Yeah.
And then Clemson.
With Dabo, I didn't realize how splintered we were in our takes. You say he's getting fired and they're 5-7.
Yeah.
Parker says he thinks Dabo's going to go 6-6.
Which I would say still
him.
Out. He'll still get fired.
I think they're going to go 8-4 and he'll be fine.
If he goes 13-12 in 2 years – I mean, he's gone.
Yeah,
they are spending so much money there in a very poor state. I mean, come on.
I think if he goes 6-6 again, there's a chance that he is out. I mean, back-to-back 6-6 years, for sure. I think he could get fired. I don't think he's going 6-6. I think he's going 8-4. I think they lose to LSU. I think they lose to Miami.
Yep.
And then I think they lose two other games, maybe South Carolina.
Georgia Tech.
Cal. Georgia Tech's at home.
Who cares?
Death Valley's still a tough place to go in and play.
Was it last year?
Let's see what they did last year at home.
They were 7-6. Couldn't have been that tough. They probably played 10 home games.
They did lose.
They shouldn't have lost to Duke.
They lost four times at home, actually.
They lost four times at home. Apparently, they tripped running down the hill.
Which, I will argue, most overrated entrance in all of college football. That might be a –
They will come for you.
Yeah, I know.
They
Clemson
will come
fans,
for you.
But I always hated it. Clemson fans love to say, like, Enter Sandman's great, but nothing like running down the hill.
And I'm touching the rock.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, it's not even close. Clemson, I think, is going to be an 8-4 team this year, and I think Dabo's going to be fine.
Okay, 8-4, he will survive. They will not be happy.
I don't think they'll be I think next year he enters the year on the hot seat.
If they're 8-4, he is definitely on the hot seat.
But I don't think he's going to get fired this year.
See, but I think he is a James Franklin type person where he will cause a confrontation with the athletic director because he has been obstinate about the way he does things.
Yeah.
Right? And he's been very upset about players making money. How dare they? How dare they take away from the $10 million that I make? How dare they? Okay? And he's been upset about the portal. You know, those just aren't the right things to do. You know, having players have rights is not the right thing to do. And so he's refusing to do it. And so, I mean, and he, like I said, he's obstinate about it. And I can see him being 1-3 or 1-2 even and meeting with the AD and saying, I need you to guarantee me I'm going to have a job next year. And the AD being like, I can't do that, Dabo. He's like, I quit then. I can totally see that.
Well, I do. I see the breaking point on here where if it was going to happen in season, I think it would be the week after Miami.
What are their first four games?
So they're at LSU. I think
0-1.
0-1. Georgia Southern at home.
Okay, 1-1.
North Carolina at home, 2-1.
Maybe.
You're picking
they are
Bill
not
Belichick.
Losing. They are not losing to North Carolina. North Carolina just named Billy Edwards their starting quarterback yesterday.
Yeah,
Clemson's not losing.
I'm sorry. North Carolina is a win at home. At Cal is definitely, I mean,
yeah, that's a
late
loss.
Game on the West
that's
Coast a on a short
so if they lose to Cal and then they lose to Miami, they're 2-3.
You're 2-3 with the bye week.
Yeah.
That's –
So 2-3 with the bye week, he could be gone.
We'll have to mark October what Wednesday.
Because, look, if you're 2-3, you know what that says? We're not contenders.
Yeah.
We're not contenders. And you know what they think they are at Clemson every year? They think they're contenders.
We need to mark Wednesday, October 7th on our calendars.
Yeah,
because
that's when I get my first free
that
coffee.
Could be the day that that Corey comes in guns a-blazing.
Well, that's what I expect. I expect my grande mocha to be at my seat when I get there.
Corey,
no whip, by
his
the way.
Buyout this year is $57 million.
How much was Goober McGee's down at Texas A&M's?
$70
Jimbo Fisher. Yeah, okay.
What was Brian Kelly's last year?
It was a little less than I think it was the second highest ever.
These schools don't care, okay? All these schools who said there's no money to pay players, okay, they don't care. And if we haven't learned that by now, they don't care. All right. So if they're pissed, all right, they'll write that check. They don't care. They'll find the booster and just say, all right, I'm gonna sell, you know, some of my Apple stock. I'll call Elon and we'll get it done. I mean, look, they can all do it.
Well, that's why Kalen DeBoer's job never feels safe because
No.
You know that Alabama fans, if they want him out, they will.
Yeah.
They'll be raising the buyout money in the suites at halftime of the game.
The $57 million is a legitimate amount. It's a good argument.
Yeah.
But I still think ultimately, if they're angry enough, they will write that check. They just will.
We will see.
Also, going back to your thing, Jake, about the Alabama fans, not all of their fans are boosters. It doesn't matter what the fans think. It matters what the boosters think.
No,
100%.
Who was it that actually was it LSU last year where they were raising money for the buyout in the suites at halftime?
Didn't they start a GoFundMe?
Somebody actually said that was going on, raising buyout money in suites at halftime. Maybe it was a joke and I just took it too seriously, but
also too with Alabama, if you fire Kalen DeBoer, who are you going to go get to replace him? You got to have a backup plan.
Well, they probably think they'll go get Marcus Freeman.
They think that they can get anybody they want.
See, yes. I just don't view it that way. I don't think Marcus Freeman would leave to go to Alabama.
No, I don't think he will either. I think Marcus Freeman's Notre Dame or the NFL.
Yeah. He turned down the NFL, had multiple opportunities the last 2 years.
I thought he should have been the head coach here.
You know, we can get to that coming up next of who are some guys, like, let's say the Alabama job opens. Who are some guys that they would go after?
Brett Bielema.
To try and fill that job. 615-737-1025. We'll also talk some Vandy and some Vols this hour as well. We are live at Titans training camp. Practice getting underway down below us here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 the game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides. First pitch is at 535, and you can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Next man up, 1025 the game. We're looking through the Athletics coaching tiers, and we were talking about Kalen DeBoer, how he's always going to be on the hot seat, really purely because he's not Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And the question becomes, can you get somebody who you would view as an upgrade over Kalen DeBoer?
It's difficult.
We're racking our brain for guys who make sense. And you look at the Tier 2 guys. So other guys in that tier. Cristobal, I think, is a Miami guy.
He went to Miami.
Right, like he's not leaving. You're not getting Ryan Day. James Franklin, I think that's
a tough sell.
That would be a tough sell, and I just don't think he would.
Look, you're not getting Marcus Freeman. You're not getting Lane Kiffin. You're not getting Steve Sarkisian.
Dan Lanning would be a guy you could go after, but I bet you're not getting him.
They already tried
Dabo. Yeah, right. They tried to get Lanning.
Maybe they go get Dabo.
Yeah, they could get Dabo.
They could get Dabo.
But he did play there.
We list all the Tier 2 guys. None of them make a whole lot of sense. From the Tier 3 guys, I mentioned Dan Mullen coming back to the SEC. I think that could make some sense, but –
that's a big sell.
There's a reason he got pushed out of Florida.
Right. Are you viewing that as an upgrade over Kalen DeBoer? I would say no.
Absolutely not. Unless you're Nick Frazier.
Some young up-and-coming guys, I want to get your guys' thoughts on a few names. Just took the UCLA job. Bob Chesney. Like, is that a guy who could be on the fast track to possibly be one of those big names if he's able to get UCLA going in the right direction over the next year or two.
Anybody who turns UCLA around is going to.
Right.
It's a high-profile job at just a dumpster fire of a program.
And he's recruiting well right now.
Yeah, so if you go there and you win, you're going to get someone's attention. And the only question is UCLA going to pay to keep you?
Right.
Because, I mean, it's UCLA. But they have shown that football has not been a priority for a while. All right? And so I would be willing to bet that whoever is there would be willing to leave if they got an opportunity like Alabama. But I think he's got to win for more than 1 year.
Yeah, I think so too. And if DeBoer is gone after this year, you're going to have to look at more established names.
Yeah.
How about if we're looking established names, how about Mike Elko? Do you think you could pull him away from A&M?
No, but he's a great coach. And
he's a great recruiter.
Yeah, I think he would be a good choice. I think he could do well in that job. But Texas A&M has a lot of money.
Yeah.
They will pay you $70 million to go away there.
And they will pay you probably just as much to keep you if they want you there.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he would consider it. But I think he's tied in there. I think he's like a tick right now.
Two other names in Texas. Rhett Lashley at SMU.
I mean, he would certainly leave SMU.
I think he'd leave SMU.
An upgrade from DeBoer, though?
Right. I agree.
Yeah,
That's the big question. And Joey McGuire at Texas Tech. They've got all the money in the world, too. But if you want a guy who's proven he can at least get you to the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean
Joey McGuire's a West Texas guy, though.
Right.
But you could sell him as an Alabama person, you know, saying, hey, he's gone to the college football playoffs. He's taken Texas Tech to an elite level. You know, he knows how to get players. You know, we just need to follow his formula, and we can do it. I think you could sell him. And look, he is bringing great rosters to Texas Tech because they are spending the money. It's easier to do it to Tuscaloosa.
Right.
All right. And so, you know.
You not only have the money, but you got the brand backing you up, too.
There's a reason Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss for LSU.
Yes.
It's just easier.
Right.
It's easier. And, you know, they're both good jobs, but one is just a little bit easier than the other. And so Alabama should be a little bit easier than Texas Tech.
Right.
And so that would be one I think you could sell and you could get him to leave.
Our engineer Chad brought up a really intriguing point during the break.
Yeah, I think this is Coach 1A. I do.
If the Titans have a good year on offense, Alabama misses the playoffs, they fire DeBoer. Is Brian Daboll considered as the head coach at Alabama?
I think he's very high on the list. I think he's very, very, very high on the list.
I would agree. I think that would be a great hire for them. Somebody who obviously coached under Saban, looks the part, sounds like the part. Like, again, we always talk about he sounds like a head coach. I think that would be a great fit at Alabama. It's just a question of does Daboll want to re-enter the world of college athletics, which you're seeing more people departing that ship than getting back on it.
You're not entering at the bottom. You're entering at the top.
you're entering at Alabama.
You're going to make $10 million a year, all right, and you're going to have a sweet buyout if you stink. So, you're going to a place that's competing for national championships. I mean, it's just that simple. You're going there to compete for national championships. You're not going there to try to build something and hope we can get up. The expectation the moment you walk in the door is to be in that college football playoff.
Right.
And that's where you want to be. I mean, like Dan Mullen going back to UNLV. I want to coach again.
Right.
This isn't
Alabama.
This isn't Brian Daboll taking over at Wake Forest. This would be Brian Daboll taking over to Alabama. Yeah, you take that job. But if he has a good year here, he might have his choice of an NFL job. But the question is, would you rather be the head coach of the New York Jets
or Alabama? I think the question would become, like, I agree, if you're given the choice between Alabama and the Jets, you'd probably take Alabama.
Yeah.
But let's say the Packers opens up.
Well, then you probably want to go to Green Bay.
What's another, like, higher-profile job that could open up? Like, would you take the Bengals job to work with Joe Burrow? That's true. The Cowboys could have an opening. So I think there are jobs at the NFL level that might intrigue him more.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
They're always ready to fire everybody.
Yeah, the Eagles kind of feel like the Alabama of the NFL in terms of just, you won us a Super Bowl 2 years ago, who cares? We're ready to fire you. 680, Mitch in Bellevue says, did you see the interview last year with the lady from Alabama when she was asked what she would do if she hit the $1 billion Powerball? She said the first thing she would do is buy out DeBoer.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, now look, I mean, I understand if you're an Alabama fan and you are horribly disappointed in Kalen DeBoer. I get it because you're used to being 12-0.
Right.
And he hasn't done that. And you're also used to unquestionably being the best team on the field all the time. And there's a lot of games where you're like, this doesn't look like Alabama.
Florida State last year. I mean, they ended up making the playoffs, but I was thinking, right, Indiana.
Oh, God, they got massacred.
I thought Florida State, they might run him out of the building after week one and just say, we're cutting our losses. Because, I mean, it looked horrible.
Yeah.
And after missing the playoffs the year before. So, Kalen DeBoer, barring winning a national championship, I feel like he's always going to be on the hot seat until the day he's fired.
Having said that, I'm with Parker. I think Kalen DeBoer is an excellent
coach. He's a good coach.
Who's won everywhere he's been. And I wish I could tell you what the problem is at Alabama. You know, as big of a problem as you can have being 10-2, 9-3.
Right.
But, you know, for me, when I watch them, I just see mistakes that I don't typically see from Alabama teams.
Yeah.
Fumbling the football, you know, penalties. And I don't know if that's because, like I said, is there a tune-out factor because he's not Saban?
Yeah.
Is it because he's not as strict as Saban was?
Right.
Because Nabe is pretty strict now. And so, you know, are there things with his coaching that have to change to win in that environment?
Yeah.
Because at Washington, is really good. At Fresno, really good. Southern Illinois offensive coordinator, really good.
I think if he gets fired, he will be a highly sought-after name for a lot of Power 4 jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think he's going to be very good somewhere else. But Alabama's just – I mean, it's impossible to take that job and live up to expectations because you're following the greatest of all time.
Could you imagine how intolerable Bielema would be on that Alabama sideline?
I mean, yeah.
He would be so sensational. you know what? I'm going to start a campaign.
Bielema to Bama.
Bielema to Bielema. Oh, man. It'd be beautiful. They would, like, run the ball, like, 60 times a game. 60 runs for 480 yards. 2 for 3 passing.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans stretches just wrapped up. Paul Kuharski did report this earlier, but we can now see it with our own eyes. Mitch Trubisky is on the practice field this morning.
So is that Tony Pollard I see there behind Tajay?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I see Tony Pollard wearing the 20 this morning.
Now, they cut the running back they signed yesterday and signed another one today.
Yes, Dearness Johnson is in.
Dearness.
So, yes, they've made one move there. Yes, Dominic.
Peterson, Johnson.
We'll figure it out.
Slappy.
He's not here anymore. We don't have to figure it out, actually. 615-737-1025. We'll give you Titans practice updates throughout the show. But sticking with college football here, let's talk the local teams coming up next in the final half hour here in hour number two.
Austin Peay in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, there you go. Austin Peay.
No, we're talking about the SEC. Okay.
Yes, we're going to talk Vandy. We're going to talk Tennessee coming up next.
Right.
Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1-2-5 the game. Hang out with us on Friday, August 28th at T-Line in West Nashville as we celebrate 102.5 The Game's 15th year of being on the air. Celebration for the game birthday party as we celebrate 102.5 The Game's 15th anniversary. Also, we have gifts for you, the listeners, every hour starting at 6 a.m. There will be prizes given away, including Preds tickets, Vandy tickets, concert tickets, and even more giveaways at T-Line Nashville, too. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/birthday. Some of the sponsors for the game birthday celebration: Pickers Vodka, made for the memories, Tennessee Men's Clinic, Parman Tractor and Equipment, your proud Takauchi dealer. Visit ParmanTractor.com. The Wine Cellar in Hendersonville, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, TJ Anderson Homes, Family Leisure, Houston Clinic Orthopedics, Bob's Steak and Chop House, Franklin Motors, your ride is here. Visit FranklinMotors.com, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 429, and Red's Wine and Spirits in Bellevue. Appreciate all of the sponsors for the game's birthday celebration. It'll be fun next Friday, celebrating 15 years out there at T-Line in West Nashville. We are live at Titans training camp today. Practice is underway. Individual work going on right now. Again, we'll give you updates as we have them throughout the rest of the show. But talking some college football here, we went through the coaches and the coaching tiers from The Athletic that came out yesterday. Both Vanderbilt and Tennessee have their coaches in the same tier three. Clark
okay.
Lee, the biggest riser across all of the college football in this exercise, moves up from tier 7 to tier 3.
Wow.
Josh Heupel was tier 3 last year. He stays tier 3 here. Let's start
what are they called tier 3, by the way?
Tier 3, consistency with upside.
Okay. Well, I don't – I mean, Clark's got upside. You can't say it's
consistent. You're hoping that this year shows the consistency.
Yeah.
But right now, there are a lot of unknowns with Vanderbilt. We played a clip from The Athletic, their podcast on Monday, from Bruce Feldman, saying that he thinks Vandy's going to go 3-9 and might be in a dogfight with Austin Peay. And
wow.
The explanation was just they lost Pavia and they lost Stowers. And I was like, well, do you know who's still there? Could you name more than two players on the team?
You know how much they spent on the roster?
A lot.
$25 million.
It's a good team. Like
I have them going 9-3.
I would say a little bit
who
lower than that, Vanderbilt.
You have Vanderbilt going 9-3 this year.
I do. I do.
Let's look at
Hot
the schedule
take.
Here.
Hot take.
I mean, I know you can't necessarily go game by game in the SEC and
Hot
say,
take.
But I would probably say 7-5, 8-4 would be where I'd have them.
I have them going 7-5.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think I can see 7-5. I'm going wild.
They're going to beat Austin Peay, no matter what Bruce Feldman says.
Yep.
They're going to beat Delaware.
Yeah, that's 2-0.
NC State at home. That's going to be a turning point game, a game where you find out what this team is.
Yep.
Whoever the quarterback
for
is
for both of those teams. Yeah. That's an enormous football
right,
game.
Right. Right. And I think if Vandy heads into Auburn 3-0,
4-0,
that's a game they can win. You're probably going to lose at Georgia.
4-1.
Ole Miss at home.
I think I have them losing that one 4-2.
So 4-2. Arkansas at home.
Wait. Did y'all have them beating Auburn at Auburn?
Yes.
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 Okay.
First SEC game for Alex Golish.
Okay,
I can see it.
Can I ask a question? When was the last time Auburn was any good? Okay, that answers your question.
Did you see Parker?
Let's not talk about Auburn like they're Auburn.
I'm sure you saw this, Parker. On three, Brett McMurphy put out the most overrated and underrated teams by the AP poll over the last, 15 years.
Yeah,
you know who number one was?
Auburn.
Auburn.
Yeah.
Auburn, the most overrated team over the last 12
seasons.
I can't
tell you the last big game Auburn won.
Okay,
the last thing I remember.
It's a new regime, too.
Well, okay.
Do you doubt Alex Golish?
Dude.
I haven't seen Alex Golish coach in the SEC yet.
I haven't either. It's Alex Golish. They're going to go 10-2?
If Jared Curtis is starting at quarterback for Vanderbilt and his first SEC game is on the road at Auburn?
Yeah. What's your point?
You know who else's first SEC game that is?
I have a ton of confidence. Like, Vandy may win
that
game, but it's not like, Vanderbilt's going to win that game, no problem.
I didn't say it'd be no problem, but you're asking me to pick a winner, and I'm picking Vanderbilt. I got to pick one or the other. I don't get to say, well, I think it'll kind of be Vanderbilt, but maybe it'll be Auburn.
I would pick Vanderbilt in that game, too.
Okay.
Just knowing
okay.
what we know right now about the team.
So 4-0, and then you have them losing to Georgia.
We have them losing two in a row.
Losing to Ole Miss.
And Ole Miss.
Then Arkansas wins.
5-2, 6-2.
Kentucky.
7-2.
Mississippi State. Alabama at home.
8-2.
Oh, you've got them beating Alabama at home again?
No. Yeah. No.
See, Parker, though, my bold prediction was that that DeBoer doesn't even make it to that game, and they're on a four-game losing streak heading into that one.
8-2.
Yeah, okay. I remember you saying that.
Okay.
Do you think they beat Florida in the Swamp?
They're going to lose at Florida, be 8-3, and then they're going to beat Tennessee and go 9-3.
Okay. I would flip a couple of those games. I would say they.
Well, yeah, you said 7-5.
I would say they lose to Alabama.
Sure.
And they could lose another one of those, whether it's Tennessee whether
Auburn.
It's Auburn,
yeah. NC
maybe
State.
Kentucky on the road. I don't
think
know.
They lose their final three games.
I think they could win their final three games.
I'm interested to see what the quarterback position looks like.
Same with Tennessee.
That's the big thing. But you look at this.
They're all five stars. I know that.
You look at this Vandy roster and you say the defense has players at all three levels. We went through it with Andrew Allegretta. Like, there's a lot of hope
running
for that defense.
Receivers are good.
Running backs are good. Receivers are good. The offensive line, they've
one
proven to be
starters.
Able to replace those guys.
Look, they brought in a proven guy at center in Lyndon Cooper from Pitt.
Yep. They brought in a tackle, too, who's done it.
They've got,
I'm blanking
what's
on
his name, Orion Thomas back.
Yeah.
But he played like 60 plays last year. So they've got some prove it to do up front, for sure. For sure. But again, we can't talk about this like this is the same old Vanderbilt. Just
right.
like we can't talk about it like it's the same old Auburn.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, and we got Ricky, who is the resident Vandy hater on the text line, saying, not a chance in hell they beat Tennessee again this year. Auburn by two scores. I'm like, Ricky, did you not just watch Vandy walk into Neyland Stadium and wipe the floor with Tennessee last year? Like, do you not remember that? And
yeah.
You can say, What about the quarterback? What about your quarterback? You're in the same position.
They can't beat each other out.
Right.
They can't beat each other out.
I think it'll be a very competitive game, but I have Tennessee winning.
Okay, but Tennessee's already lost, what, two defensive starters?
Yeah. Yep. And
they've lost their best defensive back.
Right. 9144 says they're losing to Austin Peay week one if Curtis plays. Guys, we need to stay in the realm of reality here.
It's Bruce Feldman's burner.
Like, do people not know anything about Vanderbilt football and look at the team?
If he wants to make the Starbucks Waffle House bet on that one,
yeah,
I'll take it.
I just don't understand, because like we get this from a lot of Tennessee fans on the text line, and then you got Bruce Feldman saying it too. Do you not look at the team?
They brought back
a ton of talent. They're losing Pavia, yes.
Well, for Tennessee fans, it's denial.
Right.
They don't want they can't accept that Vanderbilt's good, and I get it. They can't accept it. But what's the record between Tennessee and Vanderbilt like the last 10 years?
It's pretty close. Derek Mason got him what, three times?
They're close,
and they're going to bring up the all time series history of Vanderbilt would have to win 80 times in a row or whatever.
That's fine.
I don't know, but
I'm not living then. I'm living now.
Right.
That's my point.
Like
Dabo, I'm living now.
I would say Tennessee's roster is better than Vanderbilt's this year.
Look, year in year out, recruiting Tennessee is better,
right?
Without a doubt.
But I do think that it's a lot closer than it has been in the past. And if you're going to question Vanderbilt because of the quarterback situation, you got to question Tennessee because of the quarterback situation,
too. They both lost good quarterbacks. You look at Vanderbilt coming off a 10-win season. They return their head coach, their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, Jerry Kill, which is very, very important, is back for another year. They have their stadium in place. They're building all over the place down there. They have facilities that can now compete. They have an infrastructure with NIL and the portal to bring in players. They know the kind of players they want to bring in. And do they have to prove they can do it with Pavia? 100%.
Yep.
But when you bring in the most coveted quarterback in the country to do it, that's not a bad place to start.
Right. I love if Curtis starts week one, like Tennessee fans wouldn't have been thrilled for Jared Curtis to come
there. It's like I always said, like Tennessee fans wouldn't have taken Pavia in a heartbeat last year. Give me a break.
Right. It is, over the last 10 years, it is 6-4 Tennessee.
Okay. Well, that's really domination right there.
Two of those wins vacated by Tennessee, by the way. Just putting that out there.
So 4-4.
615-737. Vacated wins are the dumbest thing ever. Nobody forgets that it happened.
Right. Has anybody ever counted vacated wins?
They need vacated wins. They need, like, the Men in Black neuralizer all right, whole fan base, look here. Yeah. Louisville did not win that national championship.
It's like when Reggie Bush lost his Heisman.
Right.
You weren't awesome in college.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Vols are a talented team, too. We will talk about Tennessee coming up next.
I didn't say that.
Because we're not trying to make this a bash Tennessee fest.
No,
but like
I believe in Vanderbilt. That's all I'm saying.
When we get texters saying Vandy has no chance to beat Tennessee this year.
That's ridiculous.
When they beat them by, what, three touchdowns in Neyland last year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up hour number two after this, then get back into the Titans as they get ready to practice. Individual portion going on right now. We'll give you updates as they come in throughout the day. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Getting ready for Titans practice. Again, they're doing individual work right now. I do want to give you an update. Carnell Tate not practicing today, although Paul Kuharsky did put out there earlier that they think he's going to be okay. The exact wording of the tweet here, both Mitch Trubisky and Carnell Tate will be fine. Trubisky is out at practice. Tate is not. You hope it's more of a precaution than anything after he got hit at the end of practice on Monday.
On a spectacular play.
Yes.
Great throw and catch.
On fourth down.
And Kevin Winston coming over and just smoking him.
Right. That's the second time Kevin Winston has injured one of the Titans' wide receivers. Luckily, Alec Iamanner was okay. It seems like Carnell Tate's going to be okay.
He's the Shea Weber of the Tennessee Titans.
Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville is called in. Dustin, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. I always love it when UT fans put their foot to mouth. Because they played twice, Austin Peay, and buddy, they let them score a field goal. Let me read the numbers from ChatGPT. Here's
by the way, Joe Milton did not throw for 100 yards in that game.
Yeah,
But go he ahead. Probably could have, right?
No, he couldn't. That's what the problem was. Go ahead.
So 2013, Vanderbilt, 38-3. 2015, Vanderbilt, 47-7. That is what we call belt to bottom, boys.
Well,
it is like, not happening. They did not have Diego Pavia. They did not have Stowers. They did not have Clark Lee. They were the laughing stock of the SEC, and they beat the far out of Austin Peay. What are we talking about, Vols fans? Here, I'm going to have to say something else. I always have to add just to the fuel of the fire. Don't be mad at us because our sisters and your sisters like us more than you.
Wow.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for the call, Dustin. And I guess 9144, the guy who said they're losing to Austin Peay week one of Curtis Play, says he's not a Tennessee fan. Austin Peay is a good FCS team. That is at least two levels below what Vanderbilt is. Vandy is a much improved roster overall from what they were even 2 years ago. I'm sorry, this team is not losing to Austin Peay. I would take Vandy by three touchdowns in that game minimum.
Look, Vanderbilt could win that game by three touchdowns and not throw a single pass. And I'm not saying to put Austin Peay down. That's just
Austin Peay is going to be a good FCS team this year.
Those are facts.
Yep.
Those are facts. So, speaking of this, this reminds me of when I was a little baby sportscaster at Southern Illinois, and we were a 1AA team.
Yeah.
And we went to Illinois to play Illinois. Which is what you would do at Illinois. And we went up 21-7 in the first quarter. We had two touchdowns, and Kevin Kilgallen, our middle linebacker, strip sacks the quarterback and races him for a touchdown. We're up 21-7. We're all in our apartment, jumping up and down, screaming, going crazy. We lost the game 63-21. And Howard Griffith set the NCAA record rushing for 7 touchdowns in one game.
It's just different levels to this.
Like, yes, it is. Like, that's the point.
Right. Austin Peay, very good FCS team who could compete for maybe a championship at the FCS
level. Yeah, by the way, that wasn't
year.
A good Illinois team either.
Right. But Vanderbilt is going to win that game by a lot. I don't understand where this is coming from.
I guess it's coming from spite and hate. That's
I guess 9144 says that On3 put out an article listing it as an upset. Again, like you said, they don't have to throw a pass. They're going to win that game in the trenches,
yes.
And that's going to be it's going to be very lopsided.
You know,
in that
MK
game.
Young averaged 8 or 9 yards a carry last year.
Yeah, he was. I mean,
and he averaged a touchdown once every like 4 times he touched the ball.
Let's see.
And he's the backup running back,
right?
Cedric Alexander is. Averaged, I think, 5.5 yards a carry last
year.
Yeah,
Ricky was laughing yesterday because we were talking about how good the returning running backs are, and it's like I just don't think the people who think Vandy's just going to go back to being the same old Vandy them play.
I mean, you know, and the thing is they all want to criticize Pavia and say Pavia wasn't that good, but now Vanderbilt can't win without him.
Right, exactly.
So you're just arguing to argue.
Right.
Okay? So if you think – if you think Pavia wasn't all that, then he's not your excuse as to why Vanderbilt's. Look, my whole thing is this, and I think I've articulated this. It is not business as usual.
Right.
Teams don't win by accident. They win when they decide to win. And Vanderbilt finally decided to put its money where its fans' mouth was.
Yeah.
It wanted, you know, the administration finally said, okay. We're going to compete. We're going to go win. They raised money. They improved facilities. They have money for the roster now. They have money for coaches now. And they're winning.
Yep.
Does that mean they're going to go 10-2 every year? No. 9-3, is that pie in the sky? Maybe. Maybe.
Right.
But a lot of that for me also has to do with the fact that I think the SEC has pulled back because with the portal, they can't stack 5 stars and 4 stars 3 and 4 deep anymore.
Yeah.
They lose a lot of these guys, and it's why a lot more teams are better now. It's why Lyndon Cooper goes from Pitt to Vanderbilt.
Right.
Because they can afford to bring him in. He's a good football player, and he's going to be the Commodore center now.
Yep. And they've proven that they can reload that offensive line. Like, that was a question last year. They had a whole new offensive line coming in the transfer portal. They look pretty good.
And really, that's almost as big of a question to me as Jared Curtis is.
Yeah.
Because if the offensive line is really good again, then they're going to be in business.
Before we move on back to the Titans, we do have to talk Tennessee. I want to go through Tennessee's schedule and see where they end up this year.
All right, I haven't done this, so this will be first.
So, Furman, that's a win.
Yep.
At Georgia Tech, I still think that's a win.
It's a tough one. It's like Vandy, NC State. It's
right.
a tough one.
I would take Tennessee in that game. Kennesaw State, it's a
Aaron
win.
Carter's not playing in that game.
He is not.
And
they're missing.
Georgia Tech can run the heck out of the football, guys.
I think it's going to be close.
Okay.
But I'm going to take Tennessee in that game. I think the roster strength is better. And Georgia Tech, they're running out Alberto.
Well, they also lost a first-round offensive lineman.
Yes. Keelan Rutledge.
Yeah.
Jalen Haynes is back, I want to say. But
so, all right, I'll go with you. I'll say Tennessee.
Or Justice Haynes.
I got to pick one.
They're 3-0. Texas at home, that's a loss. Yeah, you're not – that Texas team is about as loaded as any across the league.
Arch Manning and Cam Coleman, you're going to see them on SportsCenter a few times.
I think so. We've already seen it just from their practice videos.
Yes.
They're going to beat Auburn at home.
Yeah.
Fayetteville's a tough place for them to go play, but I'm going to say they get it done this year.
So that's 5-1, right?
5-1.
Okay, they're in good shape.
This one's tough. Alabama at home, third Saturday in October. I think I already projected Tennessee to win this game when I was making my DeBoer bold prediction, so I'm going to stick with that. I'll say 6-1.
If I have DeBoer losing to both Tennessee and Vanderbilt, can I do that?
Yeah, you can.
You know,
might get fired. But yeah,
call me crazy. Don't call me totally bonkers. I'll take Alabama.
Okay, so you got them 5-2. I got them 6-1.
Yeah.
South Carolina on the road. I like South Carolina this year. That's a tough place to go win. I'm still going to go Tennessee.
I'm doing the whole 6-7 thing.
Yeah, it's that one is as we've seen in the past, that's a trap game going to Columbia.
I mean, look, you got a really good quarterback down there having a bounce back year.
They got Dylan Stewart.
Then you got maybe the best edge rusher in the league down there. I'll go Tennessee on overall strength, but that I'm putting them on upset alert.
So I've got them 7-1. You've got them 6-2. Kentucky at home.
7-2.
That's a win. At A&M, I'm going to say loss.
7-3.
I've got them 8-2. LSU at home, I'm going to say that's a loss.
7-4.
So I got them 8-3, and then at Vanderbilt,
I have them losing 7-5. That's a bad finish.
That was a top toss up for me. So I'll say,
is that a coach for your job game?
Possibly.
If they're 7-4.
I'll say 8-4, 9-3 for Tennessee this year. So I'll say I think they're like a half game better than Vanderbilt.
So I said 7. I'll say 7-5, 8-4, and like if they can knock off Vandy or Alabama.
Yeah, maybe.
Which I'm putting on the same level now.
Vandy, Alabama, same thing.
I got them on the same level now, guys. Sorry. you know, they beat one of them, they can be 8-4. That's what I'm saying.
All right, I like it. That's our way too early before we even know who the starting quarterback is for both teams' predictions for Tennessee and Vanderbilt.
So maybe the safest thing to do is just have Vandy and Tennessee both at 8-4.
Yeah, or have them both, 7-4 heading into that game?
Yeah, that could be.
And winner.
It's the Liberty Bowl battle.
There you go.
Yeah, winner. In Fayetteville and playing in Columbia are two spots that Tennessee fans do not want to be in.
I agree.
Those are not places that Tennessee has
loser
had
gets the
easy
Liberty
wins
Bowl.
In.
Loser to Memphis.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans have started some of their one-on-one, 7-on-7 drills on the field. We'll give you some updates in hour number three. We'll get back to the Titans after this. Let's talk the offensive line. It was a rough day for the O-line back on Monday. Can they bounce back today, gearing up for Seattle coming to town on Friday?
Yeah, they're pretty good up front.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty good everywhere.
Up front.
Super Bowl champs.
Up front, they're pretty darn good.
Yes, they are. 615-737-1025. Third and final hour coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.